The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and a lot of other really cool things, because that's just what we do. Let's get to it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Unfortunately, no Twitch today. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we don't have Twitch.
I know what's going on. The camera had a malfunction this morning. I think maybe a cable is loosened, or where the cable connects to the camera is loose. So working on getting that taken care of. But yeah, no Twitch for now.
Okay.
Sorry to say, Fred. Won't be able to show off your hair.
That's all right. I've got it covered up today. You know, it's no big deal. What's going on, man? How was your weekend?
It was sort of back to normal, it felt like.
I saw you had some baseball pictures on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's... You know, it wasn't like a normal baseball tournament. There was still social distancing. Like, there was a lot of people wearing masks in the stands, which is fine. There was also no handshake lines or anything like that. It was a lot of hat tips and good games and, you know, thing. And there was typically when you win a championship, there's like this big ceremony at the end and all the parents come out on the field and take a bunch of pictures.
Right.
And that wasn't the way it went. So it was different, but it was good to kind of get back to normal.
That's good.
Yeah. And I mean, God, I'll say this. If this heat doesn't kill that coronavirus, we're all dead anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't. Well, I was thinking that on driving in today. It's like, remember all those people that said the heat was going to give up, you know, slow it down? I haven't really seen that yet. And it's hot. So,
yeah.
And we didn't have a tropical storm this weekend. So there's that. But, I had Saturday was just kind of a lazy day and sat around, played the ponies all afternoon and got my ass kicked. And then yesterday was better. Second day of Woodbine, which is one of my go-to tracks, and things made a lot more sense. And then went out yesterday afternoon and kind of hopped to a couple bars with some friends. And adulting kind of goes out the window whenever we hang out with them. So, yeah, I got a little bit drunk.
Nice.
But I had a good time. And it was a good weekend. So kind of it's kind of nice to have a day like that where you kind of do normal stuff. And during this whole thing, I've started to appreciate little things a lot more, like just going out and having a few beers with your friends. And, you know, we're doing it safe. I mean, we're wearing masks into the place and ordering with masks. And then when we get outside and drink, we take the masks off. And so I have no problems with it. I mean, yeah, it's hot and it's a pain in the ass. But if it lets me go out and do stuff, you know, it's only so many times I can play catch with the dog or play a stupid golf game on my phone before I just start getting bored.
Okay. You're still playing the golf game, I see.
I am.
Okay.
I've moved up to professional 3.
Oh.
I'm very proud of that.
You're leveled up.
Yeah. Which makes it a lot tougher because the players are better. But, it's stupid. It's just, and I hate it. The people on it are so slow. They take forever to hit their shot. And you're just like, come on, hit the bleeping ball. And yet, here I am, still playing the damn thing. But... Oh, well. What'd you think of the fights?
I think for the first time in 2020, I lost my ass betting MMA. That was not a fun fun experience. But the fights were pretty decent. Albeit the fights that I thought were going to be more competitive. Like, I made the Corey Sandhagen-Charles Byrd fight out to be like oh, this is going to be this is like fight of the night. Not Charles Byrd, Aljamain Sterling. There's me being racist. The two black guys on the card, I got mixed up. Actually, there's like five or six on the card, but I did get those names mixed up. Shame on me. I know. Of all the times. But Aljamain and Sandhagen was, I thought was going to be one of the best fights of the night. And it was really Aljo just dominating him for the minute and a half or 2 minutes, whatever it lasted. It was really just a lopsided performance. And then I was surprised at Cody Garbrandt. That's a guy who I've never thought was a very good fighter. He's very explosive. He's very athletic. So he knocks a lot of people out. But I thought he hasn't won a fight since 2016. I thought that he'd kind of gotten exposed by TJ Dillashaw and Pedro Munhoz, who had beat him and beat him kind of the same way, just used footwork and technique and let basically Cody Garbrandt walk himself into a knockout. And it was a different Cody Garbrandt, and he was very technical, very smooth, and boy, the punch that he landed, they had a hard time picking they didn't even pick a fight of the night. They had four, like, basically knockouts of the night because they're the performances of the night, because there was some tough competition there, because Sean O'Malley had a great knockout. And that Garbrandt knockout was just unbelievable. And then the main event was about what I thought it would be. It was Amanda Nunes in there with someone who isn't on her level. And she made it look that way. But it was overall, listen, man, I'm mostly just happy that these fights are going on. You know, it's a cool thing. And it is, I'll say this, for all the positive pub that the UFC will get from having these fights going on, they need it, because they're getting plenty of negative pub as well on a different front. So the way they're handling Corona is one thing, but I think maybe finally important fighters are starting to get together and say, hey, you're not paying us what we're worth.
Right.
We're not getting a fair percentage of what this company makes. It's almost laughable what fighters make compared to what the UFC brings in. And, you know, it was always, you know, a guy or two who was basically at the end of his career, who was, you know, Randy Couture was one who was big on, you know, putting something together people don't want to do it because they don't like to rock the boat, because nobody wants to get kicked out. And
right.
There's not very many guys who are big enough names that the UFC's going to just say, he can say what he wants. We're not going to punish him.
Right.
But when Conor McGregor, John Jones, and George Masvidal, three of probably, I'd say, I mean, two of the biggest draws, if not the two biggest draws in the company, and Masvidal being probably in the top five or six right now, when all three of them are basically saying, we ain't fighting until we get this money thing fixed, it's gonna force the UFC to kind of relook at things and see if their business model is sustainable. I mean, obviously from their end now it is.
Yeah.
But is it sustainable to keep the best fighters in the world when you're not paying them like they're the best? Like they've got almost a monopoly on that sport. They could conceivably blow it. If a bunch of fighters just fight out their contracts and leave, like they all band together and say, you know what, when our contracts are up, we're leaving, period.
Start your own company.
Yeah.
Because, that, I mean, that's the thing. Competition is what's going to make it work.
And like Bellator and these companies, they try and try, but nothing's really caught on. But when they do get guys from the UFC that are big names, people will tune in and watch. And if the guys like John Jones start leaving, Conor McGregor start leaving, and they fight somewhere else, now what's the UFC, what are they going to do to counter that? All they've got really is their brand name at that point.
Right.
And what John Jones had a sort of a dissertation on his Twitter today that I think was really poignant and well said. And it's surprising from a guy like John who has, I mean, listen, he's done a lot of stupid things. And honestly, he's made some bad choices, and the UFC stuck by him by a bunch of bad choices. But he said, here's basically his thread. He said, everything was good until I asked for a piece of the pie. The UFC is totally comfortable with me taking concussions for over a decade, but asking for generational wealth, get the F out of here. And then somebody said, is this the best time to be asking for a raise? And he said, do you not listen to Dana? Almost every interview, he mentions how the UFC is breaking records. They're at an all-time high. Dana mentioned that I want Wilder money. Meanwhile, over the entirety of my career, I haven't even made a quarter of that. When I was in my prime, the UFC's way of not paying me was telling me I wasn't a star. They had me grateful for a new car, meanwhile making tens of millions without me knowing. They impressed a young kid with a Bentley to fight Lyoto Machida while they collected millions. He said, I'm not even asking for back pay for ripping me off through my entire 20s. I just want to be treated fair moving forward. Advice while you're young, fighters. If you're hot right now, get paid. As much as the UFC is building your brand, you are building theirs. That sentence is very poignant to me. If you think your biggest paydays will come after being with the company for a while, you are wrong. I fought mega fight after mega fight through my early 20s for under $2 million a fight. Who knows what I'm actually owed? Makes me feel like a fool even thinking about it. And someone came back and said, owed, you're owed whatever your contract that you signed says. Also a good point.
Yeah.
He did sign a contract. And that's when Jones says, like I said, I'm not even fighting for what happened in the past. That's done. I just would like to know that they're willing at least to play ball moving forward. The way the beginning of our heavyweight negotiations was sent nothing but red flags. And then he went back and said the statement about making under $2 million a fight. He said that statement isn't entirely true. It was right around $2 million a fight. Not fair to say it was under. Still robbery compared to what he was making for the company. And then someone said, how many pay-per-views did you sell? He said, since joining the UFC, millions. I may not be a megastar, but I've been bringing in new fans for over a decade. He literally is a megastar,
yeah,
one of the biggest.
Yeah, he is.
Then they said, then why'd you just sign a new deal, John? And he said, the UFC has never made me fulfill more than five fights on a contract. I signed my current contract deal, or my current deal, three fights ago. That isn't a new deal. And they said, how are you not a megastar? You've been the $4 billion UFC's most dominant and consistent champion for over a decade in their premier division. And he said, I know I've had some negative press over the years, but this can't be the only thing that UFC is going to justify underpaying me for so long. So, and he said, listen, he's enjoying vacation, but if me sitting from fighting somehow helps young fighters in the future get taken better care down the road, he said, well, I did my job. You're welcome. So...
yeah, I think this is it's an interesting situation because we talk about how much boxers make through these promotions, comparatively speaking, when some of these UFC guys are every bit as big a star as a lot of the boxers who are making a bunch of money. But by having a centralized organization like the UFC, it also helps make those guys bigger because how often do we talk about boxing? They don't make fights. And they've gotten better at it over the last few years. But... it is. I do think those guys deserve more money. But if you're the UFC, I mean, what do you do? Do you just say, hey, yeah, all right, go try Bellator? I think that has to happen. I think somebody like John Jones or Conor McGregor has to go fight in another place and make a bunch of money. And maybe that'll cause things to change.
Yeah. Fighter pay in 2019 was 16% of the UFC's revenue. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, especially when you look at the other sports and their negotiations, it's closer to a 50-50 split.
Exactly.
And that's money that's being spread out among a bunch of owners. This is one big ownership group.
They paid out $150 million to fighters last year, less than $150 million, and they made over $900 million in revenue. And NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA are all, they share between 48 and 50% of revenue. So it's three times less than what most major sports give their athletes. It's pretty laughable.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your phone or own your home, own your phone and a phone. If you need a phone and a home, if you own both those things, I can help you. If you are short one, well, I can't. But if you do own your home, you could be saving money on your home insurance, and it's so, so easy. All it takes is a phone with the capability to send a text message. TGS has a system that's already shopped home insurance prices for every home in our area. They know what you could be saving. All you do is text the word money to 232323. They'll ask for your address. And when you send that, they're going to send you a full quote and proposal with great coverage in 15 seconds or less. And this is legit. I know because I saved money with this. I saved over $1,000 a year. And the average customer saving nearly $900 a year. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews, and you don't need to wait for your renewal. They'll get you out of that old deal and start you saving money today. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We're in a pandemic and the world is going crazy right now. And all these guys are like, well, I want more money too. I want more money. But let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to predict the future here. Most of the media and this country is going to get laid off in the next several months. And that's going to be a big, and everybody wants more money. And nobody wants to get laid off. And all these crazy things are going on in this world right now. Nothing is normal right now. Everything is crazy. And I am the only guy that is pulling off sporting events right now. But you're asking me a question. I don't know. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next month with my business. I don't know. I don't give a f-. I'm doing what I can do to keep the bus on the f- highway here, or the train on the tracks, or whatever you want to call it.
And we're back on the Blitz, and you'll never guess who that was. Dana White.
Dana White.
To his point, though, you really don't know if you're going to be able to keep doing this. Now, my column that I wrote for Wednesday was about how, for all the crap he took for, like, people, oh, you're risking lives to make a dollar. These things have gone off without a hitch in terms of the Rona. And
they're making good money, too, apparently.
And it shows that it can work. So
pay-per-views have been successful.
And so that's kind of what my column is. But Texter says, what is the cost structure of the UFC? If they're raking in so much, they must have a lot of overhead relative to an individual fighter. Just trying to understand the net profit percentage for both the UFC versus individual.
What I'm telling you is $900 million in revenue, $150 million gets paid out.
Okay. Is that's net revenue?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that explains it pretty well.
This is the bane of my existence is stock dividends. Like they have a bunch of now celebrity investors, including Mark Wahlberg, Giselle, Charlize Theron, Ben Affleck, and the Williams sisters. They paid out a $300 million dividend to those investors last year. So those investors who didn't get punched in the face once made twice as much money as every fighter in the organization. That's gross. That's gross. And it's unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to fault people for trying to make money, but isn't this kind of the problem with how capitalism should be working in an equitable fashion?
And this is I'm telling you, the UFC will eventually, it'll catch up to them. Right now, what they're able to say is, we pay our fighters more than any other MMA organization, which they do. But that's like saying, that's like Major League Baseball saying, we pay our players more than any other professional baseball organization.
Right.
Yeah, because it doesn't mean that they shouldn't want what they're owed, what they at least bring in. You know, that's like the NFL saying, well, we're going to pay our players slightly more than the XFL guys made, but they'll still be the highest paid guys.
Right.
You know, it doesn't compute.
I think the only, until there's competition.
Well, and part of it is until they build a union.
Yeah.
And what they call them is they call them contracted work employees. They basically say you're on a contract, blah, blah, and so you're not full-time employees of the company. So that's their way of kind of getting away with it. But the truth of it is they're not allowed to go fight somewhere else. You know, you're not allowed to go off and make more money doing something else while you're under contract with them. So it's not a very fair system, honestly. So I would like to see that change. I don't expect it to for some time, though.
Well, that's somebody says these guys wouldn't have a job without Dana White. Yeah, but
what would Dana White be doing without John Jones and Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have been making money for the UFC the last couple of years?
Says he takes all the risk. Does he?
How?
Does he get? Is he getting punched in the face?
No. I got to tell you something. These guys, that's like saying NFL owners take all the risk.
Yeah. And the truth is, there's not much risk to a company that's making that much money. And yeah, they're going to make less this year, but at least they're out there fighting. And, you know, I do think it's something that's got to get fixed, but to me, it's sort of like the whole baseball thing, and they're arguing back and forth. Now's not the time. And I get that these guys are frustrated. And it does need to be a more fair setup, but it is kind of a bad time to be fighting back and forth.
And with the Reebok deal killed them even more because when the UFC signed with Reebok, basically, they were able to get this massive amount of money from Reebok, and it outfitted all the fighters. But what it did was it took away the chance for fighters to have sponsors. So fighters in the old days of the UFC had sponsors on their shorts, on their walkout shirts. So outside companies could pay them to, you know, and then that was a way to sort of supplement the income. When Reebok comes around, now there's these. You know, millions of dollars being funneled to the UFC, that doesn't go to the fighters. The fighters, they say, hey, you get a bunch of free gear. I mean, that's cool, right? Yeah.
That makes up for those thousands of dollars you were getting for wearing that on your shorts.
If you're a big name, you might get some money thrown at you. But if you're not, the Reebok deal doesn't do anything for you but get you a couple pairs of shoes and some t-shirts. It's a garbage system. And listen, I think Dana White's good at what he does. I'm happy that the UFC is running things the way that it is. But being able to do fights and stuff. But it's long time. It's long past due that these fighters get taken care of a little bit. And even if they don't give, I mean, that's the thing. You're 16% of your revenue. You could literally double that and still be almost 20% short of what other major sports organizations give out. Your fighters would probably, it'd be hard to bitch if you say, hey, we're going to double the percentage that we give to our fighters. Like, I don't know anybody in any job who you say, hey, we're going to double the pay for you, that they're going to be like, that's still not enough. It would shut everybody be happy. Everybody'd be happy.
I'd settle for doubling my pay right now.
Would you?
Yeah.
You would take that?
Yeah, I would.
Aaron?
That's way more than fair.
I also accept these terms.
Yeah, well, let's go to David Gow with it. We're in. But, I do think it's fascinating. Somebody brought up the same thing with wrestling. Well, that's the other thing. They don't have health insurance, which is an issue. There should be something like now. And that's the...
But here's the thing. Wrestling's a weird thing because it's technically not a... Because there's no commission that runs it, like the athletic commission doesn't run it, so it's not like it's a. I mean, they're basically a traveling Broadway show. So they don't play by the same rules as sporting organizations. Do they put their body through hell? Should they be taken care of? I believe so, but I also understand the difference between the two things.
No, but I'm talking about from a purely financial setup. I mean, they're contracted employees. They don't have health insurance. It's very similar. And it has nothing to do with comparing the two from a talent standpoint or whatever.
But I don't know what percentage, and I don't know that that's ever been released, what percentage do wrestlers make of WWE's insurance?
John Oliver did a really good piece on that about 3 months ago. And it got in, and it sounded like the same stuff, the percentage that those guys are making, that they don't have health insurance, all of that.
My guess is that the top guys in that sport make a real lion's share of the money, and it's almost like a 10% rule, like 90% of the wealth to 10% of the guys, and then the rest of them are kind of just hoping to break out as a big star. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I may have something to ask Booker one of these days.
I'm sure I'd love to.
You could talk all about that.
But also, Booker is employed by the WWE. He's probably not going to, you know, if it's not straight, he probably won't let us know.
Right.
Which, you know, and I'm not here to, and Booker's a big star. So he's probably,
probably does Booker, okay.
Yeah. The guys that are taken care of they're not the ones who want to rock the boat, which is sort of, but that is what.
Which brings me back to this. So take care of Conor McGregor and Jon Jones, and guess what?
But those guys basically saying, listen, and those guys are taken care of well. I mean, Jon Jones saying $2 million a fight, which compared to what he deserves is probably low. Compared to what most UFC fighters make, it's wild. I know fighters who, after they pay out their cornermen, they pay out their trainers, their nutritionists, they might walk away from a fight with $6,000. $6,000 for a 3-month fight camp. You know, and you do that, let's say you do it 4 or 5 times a year if you're lucky. That's not a real living for a guy who's, you know, working for a company that's making that much money off his back.
Yeah, although how much money are they making off those guys? That's the thing. They're making money off the big names and the headliners, and those guys should get more money. How much are those guys making or bringing in that are making $6,000 a fight? I mean, are we talking about the guys who are fighting in the first few fights where there's 8 people in the stands?
It's a good question.
I'm not trying to belittle anything. I'm just asking because that's part of it, right? Who do you bring in and what do you bring in?
Let's see. Here's the payouts for UFC 249. Okay. There's some of these that just jump out off the page at you. Now, the lowest paid guy on this card made $12,000. Now, that's before he pays anything back.
And before taxes, by the way.
Yeah, that's Yorgan De Castro. Paid $12,000 or got paid $12,000. Now, there's some crazy things about this, though, because a guy like Fabricio Werdum was on that card. He made $100,000. That's a former world champion, like a high level dude. Greg Hardy made $180,000. Greg Hardy, his best win is guys that are not in the UFC anymore. I don't know, man. It's tough. Our boy Ryan Spann, $50,000. Like that's, which is nice, but like I said, once you start paying off your gym and your coaches and your trainers.
And I don't think people understand that when you say $50,000, besides taxes and paying all those guys, you know, there's investment in all of that.
Yep.
That it's just like when you cash in a poker tournament and say, oh, you made $30,000. Well, no, I spent 10 to get in, so I made 20.
Right.
Plus the hotel, plus, you know, the taxes that came out of it. So, I mean, it's never anywhere near what it sounds like. And I think that's the thing that's important for people to know because, oh, well, $50,000, that's more than I make in a year. It's like, well, he didn't get $50,000. And, you know, how many fights is he going to get in a year? 3, 4?
Yeah.
Maybe. El Frodo says, if your name is Undertaker, John Cena, Goldberg, or Brock Lesnar, you aren't even touching $1 million a year.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but I'll trust you on that. But yeah, that's a company that does pretty well.
So. That's wild. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. But I do know that I've heard tell of The Rock making like an appearance once a year at WrestleMania, and like making 5 times the money for that one day than some wrestlers will make for the entire year. That's pretty wild, but I mean, I guess that's also.
But that's a guy who brings pay-per-views.
Who are you tuning in to watch? All right, I got to tell you about Carbach. I'm glad I get to tell you about Carbach today. Guess what's coming in studio today, Fred? Carbach. Eric Warner's stopping by. Says he's got a growler for us. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be a surprise. but they've got so many great beers. It's got to be good. That's what I know. It's going to be good. Carbach's got something for everybody. If you want something easy drinking like a Love Street or the Cella series, which I found to be really easy, smooth drinking beers when I was out on the river, it's good for those hot days. Or you want something a little more full flavored, like maybe the one of the IPAs, like the Light Circus Hazy IPA, which I think is very good. Or if you're lucky enough to find some of the BBH out there. Either way, there's something for everybody. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Carbach to see what's going on with the brewery, what's going on with the restaurant. When is the concert series going back? You're getting all the information there. What are they working on? What kind of beers are coming out? But when you're out and about, when you're in one of these bars, when you're in one of these restaurants, make sure you grab yourself a Carbach. Hey, but when I'm on the molly, I feel savage. Ain't my girl the definition of a bad bitch. Stole a heart, I'm the definition of a bandit. Put the perks down and picked up the... ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 281 says, you've got to compare UFC to golf, not team sports. Endorsements and appearance fees. Problem is...
But only... they can't get those endorsements fees.
Right, and here's the other problem with that comparison, is... they're not under contract with the PGA Tour.
Right.
As independent contractors, if they go and win, they get money. But if Tiger Woods wants to go play on the Asian Tour...
he's allowed to.
Or go play in Dubai in an exhibition event, he can do that whenever he wants. These guys can't. If we wanted to put on an exhibition event with John Jones, he couldn't do it.
If we said, hey, John Jones, we'll give you $100 million for this fight.
We'll give you 95% of the gate. How about that?
But it's got to be, this month. Unless he fights two fights in the UFC before then, he can't do it. He's stuck.
So fight two fights and then we'll put one on. We'll give him 90% of everything. And you know what? We'd probably be pretty happy with our take. Just saying.
It's just and those golfers, they've got, wristwatch sponsorships, and all they've got to do is put Tag Heuer on their golf bag or their golf towel.
Yeah.
And they're paid. Or they can say...
or Callaway pays them a bunch of money to use their clubs.
Yeah. But if you're a dude who trains with Fairtex gloves, you're not wearing them in the cage. You're wearing the gloves the UFC gives you. If you're a dude who wears... John Jones was one of the guys who, when this broke out, John Jones was... he had a contract with Nike. Like a big contract. It was the Bones nose, and there was a big Nike deal for him. Gone. So, what are you seeing over
that
there?
That is like the biggest roach I have ever seen.
What the hell?
Jesus, that thing's wandering on the wall. Sorry to get distracted.
I'm distracted now.
That thing's a monster. Jeez.
That's Freddy the Beetle Barnes.
That thing makes a beetle look like an ant.
When are y'all going to get up and kill it?
That seems to me.
You think I want PETA on my ass?
We don't have a camera in here now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll kill it.
We'll say it fell. It took its own life.
It took its own life the minute it came in here, apparently. So, yeah, just great. I love it when stuff like that happens. But yeah. But getting back to your point about that.
You can't, like John Jones now can't get in the cage wearing Nike shorts.
Right. But here's the other problem with this. This is an individual sport, and in everything else, even jockeys now can sell the stuff on their silks for endorsements. Team sports, I kind of get it. You can't go selling your own stuff on, some guys can wear their own shoes, I guess.
Yeah.
But you can't go sell a patch on the uniform.
No.
For just you. I get that. But in individual sports, man, that should be your money. And if somebody wants to pay you more money to wear their stuff, you should get paid more money for it. But that's the same as I've always said about college athletes. If people are buying your jersey with your name on it, you ought to be getting a piece of that. And 832 asks, why does everything have to be the same? Like every sport, the finers sign up for it and agree to contracts. Nobody's saying it needs to be the same. But just, it needs to be fair.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is don't be mad when the best guys say, I don't want to fight anymore because we're not making enough money. We're not making a fair share of the money.
And that's again, until there's either a union or competition, it's not going to change.
Yep.
And unionizing will be difficult because, you know, and it's so hard to get everybody to on the same page for something like that, especially the guy who's scraping it out on the bottom of the card who just wants to get his shot in the UFC. And, you know, it's going to be hard to get those guys. It's not going to be hard to get the big dogs, I don't think. 713 says, Fred got the last bottle of Falcon 9 on Saturday. It was awesome. Those guys did a great job. Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you were able to get one. And they're all gone now. So, I mean, I have a few. I wish I'd known Eric was coming because I wanted to bring him one today. But no big deal. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 on a Monday. But, yeah, I think it's an interesting issue. It's not the issue I wrote about for Wednesday, though. But I'm more interested in the big picture of as we start bringing sports back, that you've got an example now. And I think the excuses that have been being used by a lot of these leagues, you know, I think the UFC's debunked that. And I've talked about this before. It is different because you've got a small group for your fight camp. You've got your team, and then basically there's three people in the ring.
Yeah.
And with NBA, with hockey, with soccer, it's like you've got, you know, a multitude more people involved with the team that aren't even the players that you have to be around. And then you're talking about being in contact constantly during the course of a game with the opposing team. So, you know, will it hold up with something like that? But I think it's time to find out. And then we'll see. You'll be able to do 25% fans here pretty soon in Texas if you want to put something on here.
Speaking of guys trying to make their money, Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook, according to Adam Schefter, will no longer participate in any team-related activities until and unless he receives a, quote, reasonable deal. Without a reasonable extension, he will not be showing up for camp or beyond. Dalvin Cook, who, what would you say, right now, one of the top five running backs in the league?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Yeah, like 1,600-plus yards, 13 rushing touchdowns last year. Pretty solid.
I mean, he's no David Johnson. But
no. He's set to make $1.3 million next year, the last year of his rookie deal. So he's trying to get an extension, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And at that position, whew.
Get what you can while you can.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Because once it goes, it's gone. But, yeah, I don't know why they're not negotiating with him right now if he's only got 1 year left.
I don't either.
So,
but that's a guy who, I mean, would it? We think the Vikings are going to be good, right?
I think so, yeah.
He's probably their best player, right?
Probably.
It's crazy to think he could conceivably be an MVP candidate. Probably not an MVP winner.
If he stays healthy, yeah, he could.
I think so.
He could have a Christian McCaffrey-like season. There's no question he's capable of that. And that would put him in that conversation, especially if the Vikings are really good.
He is plus 7,000 currently, according to the score.
Okay.
You know where he didn't go? Did you guys see this redrafting the NFL on ESPN?
No. Is it? There was one I saw that they redrafted 2015.
No. They basically put every player currently in the NFL into a draft pool. And like,
oh, the entire league?
The entire league. Okay. They just did four rounds, but there's some that might surprise you.
Oh, yeah? Who's Mr. Irrelevant?
Well, we've got to take a break.
Fine.
I'll let you know on the other side.
Be all professional and tease the damn thing. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody asked, how are jockeys paid in horse racing? Do they get a piece of the revenue?
They get a piece of their horse, right?
Well, they get a percentage. If they win, they get 10% of the purse that goes to the owners. Okay. They also all get a riding fee for each race, but it's not much money. And like some tracks, it's like $35 per race. So, but if you're really good, they have the right to where they can sell stuff on their silks and on their pants to promote things. And, you know, sponsors buy that space, so they make money off of that. The really good ones only ride in races that have a lot of, you know, they'll run five or six races a day, but they're always running the $100,000 races and $200,000 races. You win a big percentage of those, you can make a nice living. But they also have agents who do all the work, who go and get their mounts and things like that. So they pay those guys. And you know, and then there's they have to have their own health insurance, just like everything else. And it is it's really good life if you're one of the top dogs, but you're still risking your life every time you're out there. All right, yeah. Let's get the football.
All right. So here's what ESPN did. Has anybody talked? Aaron, you've been listening to the station all day, probably, or at least listening. I know you listen to a lot of it.
Most of it in the morning, and yeah.
Did anybody else talk about this draft?
Not that I heard.
Okay.
I also had the stream cut out on me a couple times during the bench.
So here's what they did. They did, let's just say we're rebuilding rosters. You've got a five-year window to play with. So we're pretending this is for the next 5 years. In these four picks, your job is to be a quarter. You got to pick a quarterback, a non-quarterback offensive player, a defensive player, and a wild card. So you can pick anything you want with the four, or like okay. with one of those four. But that's the four things you've got to have on your team.
Okay, this seems like a really dumb exercise, but okay.
Okay, salary caps don't matter.
Of course not.
And the rest of the roster is made up of average-level NFL talent. So you've got to. So basically, you're take these four guys, and then the rest of your guys are basically an average-level guy to fill out your roster.
Okay.
Each GM, which is basically a local beat writer,
right,
was asked to draft with intentions of winning a Super Bowl within 5 years. Some took a harder line, while others built a base that might still need a year or two. They went with this year's draft order. So the Bengals had the first pick.
Do you snake draft or no?
Snake draft.
Okay.
So
this people are really running out of ideas right now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So the Bengals, obviously, here's their four. They go Mahomes round one, Josh Allen, the defensive end, round two, Laremy Tunsil, three, Tyler Lockett, four.
Okay.
Pretty decent little squad.
It's a start, yeah.
Second pick was Russell Wilson by the Redskins.
Okay.
Lions had the third pick, Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Giants had the fourth pick, Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Is that what you would have gone with?
Yeah, I think so. I think those are the four quarterbacks you have to get off the board first if we're talking about the next 5 years.
I think I would have... I may have gone the way that the fifth team went. With the fifth pick, the Dolphins took Aaron Donald first.
Yeah, I'd rather have a good quarterback.
Well, and listen to the Dolphins, the guys that they were able to end up with. Aaron Donald in the first round, Zeke Elliott in the second round, Kirk Cousins in the third round, Kevin Byard in the fourth.
I like that. I'm not crazy about Kirk Cousins being my quarterback, but
the team that drafted Watson, the Giants, Yannick Ngakoue, Teron Armstead, and Allen Robinson round out their roster.
Boy, it gets pretty thin in that fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lockett and Allen Robinson.
Sixth, the Chargers take Ronnie Stanley. Seventh, the Panthers take Joey Bosa. Their quarterback, Jared Stidham, round three.
Ooh, yeah, that's not going to work out for you.
The Cardinals, I'll say this. They've got a good chance in the next year or two. Then it's pretty much over. Drew Brees, Chandler Jones, AJ Green, Patrick Peterson.
Oh, yeah, he took all the olds.
You got a shot now.
Yeah, I like it.
Jacksonville had the ninth pick. They went with Dak in the first round.
Ooh.
Nick Bosa 10th to the Browns. The rest of their roster, it's Nick Bosa, Justin Herbert, Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, it sounds like the Browns.
That sounds about right.
The kind of team they would put together.
11th, Carson Wentz. And they ended up with Carson Wentz, Odell Beckham, Bradley Chubb, and Zach Martin. 12th, the Las Vegas Raiders. Aaron Rodgers. And they rounded out nicely, too. Aaron Rodgers, Von Miller, Josh Jacobs, and Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, half guys that you have for probably 2 or 3 years and half young guys.
Future guys, yeah. The Colts, Joe Burrow, 13.
Ooh, too high for me.
Joe Burrow, Zach Ertz, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard.
Well, they
put together a nice little roster around.
Did pretty well with the last two that are already on their roster.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Bucks. Thomas Brady, 14.
Ooh.
Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
I don't think so.
Alvin Kamara, Chris Jones, and Kenny Golladay rounded out.
I like their 2 and 3 picks.
Yeah. This is one of the more perplexing ones. The 15th pick, Jeff Legwold, is the Broncos reporter who did the picking.
Yeah.
With his first pick, Drew Lock.
Oh, come on. Come on, you homer.
Second pick, Travis Kelce. His explanation, working off the 5-year window, the line between current production and youth with room to grow had to be considered with the selection. The quarterbacks came off the board quickly, and with 10 already gone, I made my biggest gamble on potential with Locke.
Oh, God.
16th, the Falcons take Matt Ryan.
Shocker.
I would have rather had Matt Ryan than Drew Locke.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think I got 3 more years at least to Matt Ryan.
Dallas Cowboys, Todd Archer did the picking for the Cowboys. He took Kyler Murray, number 17.
Ooh. Seems a little high for me.
18, Ted Bridgewater, Pittsburgh.
Also seems a little high.
Agreed. 19, the Bears, Jim Garoppolo.
Yummy.
Jim Garoppolo, Derrick Henry, Jerry Jeudy, and Eddie Jackson are the 4 they put together.
Interesting.
Decent. The Los Angeles Rams at pick 20, Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, don't mind that.
McCaffrey, Bobby Wagner, Jared Goff, Dante Fowler. So Christian McCaffrey, the first running back off the board.
So they got some of their own guys there, too.
Yep. Number 21, Baker Mayfield.
Too high.
Baker Mayfield, Chase Young, Lane Johnson, and A.J. Brown.
Who is that?
That's the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
The lowly Buffalo Bills, picking 22.
I think I'd rather have Carson Wentz than Baker Mayfield.
Carson Wentz was already gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 22, Michael Thomas to Buffalo. Pair Michael Thomas with their second round pick, Josh Allen. They have Matthew Judon and Micah Hyde as their, they rounded out their team. 23rd pick, the Patriots, Sammy Darnold. Darnold, T.J. Watt, Amari Cooper, and Frank Clark, the picks for the Patriots. 24th was the Saints, Khalil Mack. That seems late for Khalil Mack, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does seem late, especially with some of these half-assed quarterbacks.
And I'll be honest, Saints may be in win-now mode, too. Khalil Mack, Ryan Ramczyk, Jamal Adams, and Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
25, Vikings, Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Adams, Eric Armstead, Harrison Smith. I hate that team.
Yeah.
26, your Houston Texans, Fred.
They actually had a pick?
They did in this scenario.
Oh.
It was not traded away. Sarah Barshop drafted this team for the Texans.
Okay.
And with the 26th pick, the Texans select DeAndre Hopkins, formerly of the Houston Texans.
How realistic is that? Considering who would be doing the actual picking?
Right. Yeah, it wouldn't happen. But
all right,
for this exercise, I mean, I think that's not a bad first-round pick.
No, I think it's a good first-round pick.
She rounds her team out, and I think this team would be competitive. Saquon Barkley.
Boy, that's pretty good.
Derek Carr.
I'll take that.
Tyrann Mathieu.
I'll take that. I'll take those 4. I like that as much as pretty much anything that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. 27, Mike Evans to the Seahawks. with Jalen Ramsey, Ben Roethlisberger, and DeMarcus Lawrence.
Okay.
28.
Kind of low for DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, it's good value.
Yeah.
And if Ben Roethlisberger is healthy, maybe that's a team that competes. Evans, Ramsey, Roethlisberger, Lawrence.
Yeah.
28, the Ravens, Matthew Stafford, Julio Jones, J.J. Watt, Stephon Diggs.
That's not bad.
If J.J.'s got anything left.
Well, yeah, but you can say that about a few guys on this list.
29, Tyreek Hill, which I think might be high
yeah.
for me. They go with a quarterback who doesn't have a job, Cam Newton, at 36.
Okay.
Fletcher Cox and Jair Alexander. And then the Packers at 30 take Tua, David Bakhtiari, Darius Slay, my favorite pick in the draft here, Justin Tucker in the fourth
course,
round.
Of course. Get out of here.
Best player in the league.
Get out of here.
Well played. And 31, the Niners guy takes George Kittle.
Of course. Oh, what a homer pick that is.
Second round got Myles Garrett, and then Jameis Winston and Grady Jarrett. And then 32, the Chiefs, Stephon Gilmore, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, which I don't know why you would take two running backs in this scenario.
Yeah, makes no sense.
And Tyrod Taylor. So the Chiefs go from having Patrick Mahomes to Tyrod Taylor. Not exactly fun. So we went through that exercise, and you heard the name. So of the 128 most desired players in the league, you heard the names of three Houston Texans.
Well, I guess if you're supposed to have four in this, then they're only one behind, right?
They're catching up.
Yeah, if you still had DeAndre Hopkins, you'd be right there.
You'd be right there.
Jesse says, when I see these mock drafts, I see which reporters truly believe in their GMs and which are ass kickers. Broncos, yeah.
Drew Locke?
Oof. Yeah, that's a...
Meow.
Mm-hmm. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.